The only constant is change. That certainly applies when considering the significant changes to the retirement world over recent years. Today, we cover the changes and their impact, the good, bad, and ugly. That and more coming up on Retire Right Radio.
And now, Retire Right Radio with Paul Roberts.
Retirement doesn't look like it did some years ago, and that's what we're covering and opening up the show, Retire Right Radio. Weston Lindeman is part of the team of all-star advisors at Roberts Wealth Management. Roberts Wealth Management offices in Biloxi, the original, also Pensacola, where you'll find Weston, Daphne, Alabama, and in the Houston area. Yeah, Weston, retirement certainly is different, and as you said, we're going to take a look at the good, the bad, and the ugly in retirement changes. I think it's, is it safe to say it's more good than bad and ugly?
Well, you know, it depends on a matter of perspective, really. You know, there's things like the Secure Act that has been passed in recent years, a major legislative change. And although Secure stands for setting every community up for retirement enhancement, when you take a close look at the legislation, it's hard to see that that's what was accomplished. And, you know, at first glance, you look at some of these things like RMDs, they can now be put off a little bit longer. 73 is that new RMD age per the Secure Act 2.0. And, you know, I like to point out the Secure Act worked so well that a couple years later they came out with Secure Act 2.0.
And everything's got to have a sequel.
Right. Right. And, you know, the intent, of course, by the name alone suggests that it was to, you know, help people to retire better. And when we look at what these different aspects of the legislation did, it seems like it just makes it harder for us to keep more of our money. Now, again, at first glance, this seems like a good thing. RMD age pushed back just a little bit longer. But when we consider the way in which RMDs are calculated, you know, the IRS being notorious for their simple calculations, they have a formula. And basically the way it works is they take each year that you're supposed to take an RMD, they treat it as if it's your first year. And in 20 years, you have to have that account drained down to zero. And so on a percentage basis, when we look at, you know, what's that RMD at 70 versus 72 or 73 or 75, the older we are, the higher that percentage is. Not only that, but hypothetically, at least the account balance is probably going to be a little bit greater due to increased, you know, additional years of compounding. And all of this with the backdrop being a tax code that changes in a couple of years, there are millions of Americans that are about to reach RMD age at the same time that the tax code will be rewritten. So it's anyone's guess as to whether or not this is good, bad, or just downright ugly. And I think we have to wait and see, at least with item number one here, the RMDs being pushed back by
And I was going to say, if we feel, I guess we don't have to feel totally out of control on that. Is there something we could do now?
That's right. And so this is where, you know, we create the awareness around this first and foremost. This is what's already happened. Of course, there's a certain amount of conjecture looking forward as to what the future of taxation will be. You know, we don't know to what extent tax increases may be on the way, although we're pretty certain that taxes aren't going down. And so that leaves us with a couple of options, right? We can do some tax efficient planning. These are things that people could do themselves, but if you go at it alone, you run the risk of making mistakes. And so essentially what you'd want to do here, if you're like us and of like mind, the tax is probably going to be on the rise in the coming years. That means taxes are on sale today. And now this is where the conversation turns a little less fun, right? We have to have a conversation around paying taxes now, so that we can save money later is ultimately our goal. And one of
delayed
the best ways—
delayed gratification, right?
That's right. Not always the easiest pill to swallow, but sometimes necessary. And in this case, we're going to strategically, over a number of years, and obviously sooner rather than later with the timeline that we're currently on, we want to take our pre-tax dollars, our IRA, our 401k, and we want to strategically begin converting those dollars into Roth dollars. Now, converting is different than contributing. And again, it's just a fancy way of saying we're going to pay our taxes now, therefore moving those pre-tax dollars into a post-tax account where from there on they're going to grow tax-free. The gains will be tax-free when we make a withdrawal. We have to wait 5 years, of course, to do that. But in doing so, we're also going to have no required minimum distribution. When we take dollars out of a Roth account, it's not going to count towards our income. And it's going to make life a lot easier. But the most important thing we're looking at right here today is how it affects our future tax liability. And essentially, a Roth conversion is going to be a hedge against that future tax increase.
They'll certainly talk to you about that at Roberts Wealth Management. If you call in and claim a comprehensive review for yourself about your retirement, 800-891-8680 to do that, 800-891-8680. And one more thing on the RMD, they did cut that penalty, which was quite draconian.
Well, I'll say this could be both in the good column and the bad column. And so the good thing is they did reduce that penalty down from 50 all the way to 10% in some cases. Now, recently for inherited accounts, you know, there's been some changes along the same timeline here around 2020 with the way inherited accounts get treated, non-spousal inherited IRAs. Now you have to drain those accounts within 10 years. Well, the IRS has announced recently that they are waiving the penalty for this year, as they did in recent years, because people don't understand all the rule changes. It's been so complicated, people don't know, do I take an RMD from this inherited account, or can I wait and do it later? So they've waived the penalty for inherited accounts, and they've reduced the penalty for missing an RMD on an account that's yours, right? But here's the trick with the waiving of the inherited IRA penalty is they haven't waived the necessity of taking the RMD. And so there's a lot of confusion around this. Mm-hmm. I've had clients reach out and say, hey, well, I don't have to take that RMD this year. Well, actually, it just says that the IRS has waived the penalty. They haven't waived the requirement for that RMD. And so if we're holding off because there's no penalty now, well, what we're actually doing is waiting until a new tax code arrives. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have to be forced to take larger portions of our inherited IRA before that 10-year timeline runs out. And so if you're like some of our clients and you recently heard about the IRS waiving that penalty, that's what they did. They waived the penalty. They didn't waive the requirement. So we want to make sure that we're staying on top of that, because otherwise we're setting ourselves up for a future tax liability that is going to be just bigger and bigger the longer we wait.
Yeah, got to think about those taxes, definitely. Another change incrementally and slowly, and hard to believe it's only been 2 years, actually, and not from Secure Act, but that's Social Security full retirement age, the increase in that.
Yeah, pretty much everyone approaching full retirement age at this point. There's still a few out there that have 66 and some months as their full retirement age date, but most people now are age 67 being full retirement age. And this, of course, affects how we plan for Social Security. People, you know, tending to live longer, the idea is that you then therefore bump back the full retirement age. And it's likely also a strategy for keeping Social Security solvent a little bit longer. But, you know, when it comes to when is the right time, do you wait till full retirement age? Well, one of the best ways to gauge whether or not that's right for you is going to be just assessing your expectation around how long you think you'll be living for. You know, I know there's no perfect answer to this, but if we're expecting, reasonably to live into our 80s, then, you know, perhaps full retirement age is a good idea. But if that seems like a roll of the dice to you, then maybe filing before age 67 is a better move. And so as always, you know, Social Security, you want to make sure you get this one right. There's been some recent changes as far back as 2015 with the Bipartisan Budget Act that makes it a little bit difficult now to get these things right when it comes to filing. They've taken away our preferred strategy of file and suspend that would allow for a spouse that's earned more money to go ahead and file, therefore allowing the spouse to get the spousal benefit, and then immediately have the higher earner suspend their filing so they could allow that max benefit to accumulate. They've taken away strategies like that with recent legislation, they being Congress, of course. And what that means for us is we have to make sure that we're timing when to file for Social Security. It's that much more important that we get it right the first time. And if you're wondering, how do I do that? What is the right strategy for me and my household? Well, that's something that we can do for you. It's part of our complimentary process. And that's going to be our Social Security Maximization Report. So if you call in, if you sit down with an advisor of on the Roberts Wealth team, you want to ask them about that. Let's get a complimentary Social Security Maximization Report. That's going to show you the difference in filing at, you know, any of the different ages you're considering. It's going to give you the information you need to make the best decision.
Yeah, and that is just one part of the comprehensive review that's going to be about you. It's certainly a custom approach they take with this review, as they take if you go forward with building that retirement plan at Roberts Wealth Management. 800-891-8680. Yeah, they'll talk to you about building the income in your retirement, as Weston talked a lot about taxes and where taxes could go, and being proactive in that regard. Good strategies for you. Looking at those RMDs, a lot of proactive things that you can, some things you can go ahead and implement now, as we said, for a little delayed gratification later in your retirement, and protective measures as well. 800-891-8680. Come in at no cost, no obligation. 800-891-8680. A little bit of time here, Weston, if you could break out your old trusty crystal ball. Speaking of Social Security and the challenges it faces, whether it's 20, 33, 34, do you think that one part of addressing that challenge will be further raising the full retirement age?
Well, you know, this is pure speculation, but it seems like it's almost a given at this point. Something drastic, or at least incrementally different, is going to have to take place in order for Social Security to remain a staple of American retirement planning. And maybe that's what we need to reckon with, right? Because when Social Security was first established, it wasn't intended to be the cornerstone for retirement planning. And for many people, for some people, it is the end-all be-all for the retirement plan. It's just relying on the Social Security benefits. So, you know, naturally, when people are living longer, and now we're in a situation where we have more people receiving benefits than paying in, that's going to be obviously a mathematical problem moving forward. And so it's hard to speculate on these things, but it wouldn't be, you know, totally unexpected if the full retirement age were bumped back yet again. And we'll just have to wait and see what Congress intends to do around that.
It is going to be interesting to see what they do, because, I mean, a tidal wave of people nearing or in full retirement age. And then you look at the millennial generation is massive also. Yep. So, you know, they're looking at it when they'll start acting on that. Well, what do you think? 2032?
It may be a little while, but it, right. It highlights the importance of planning for these types of things. We can't allow for Social Security to be the thing that holds our retirement plan together. You know, we've talked about the cost of living adjustment before and how that no longer keeps pace with inflation. We need to make sure that the rest of our plan is accounting for these shortfalls. And if there are changes to the way Social Security benefits are received, then we need to know that we have a plan for that moving forward. So if that's something that you feel you currently lack, if you want to get a second opinion, make sure you're on the right track, that you're that you have safeguards in place to protect you from those types of changes. Well, we can't necessarily work miracles, but we can give you a plan to do just that. And the best way to do that is going to be call 800-891-8680 and begin that process of claiming for yourself a retirement plan that's not just, it, you know, sounds good, looks good, but is written down and is going to be your guide for all of these challenges moving forward.
Yeah, think about it. If you're in that financial red zone, you know, in your 50s, maybe let's say 55, but 5-10 years away from retirement, and you think, I'm right now I'm in a lot of risk and I don't know how to build a retirement plan. This is a great initial comprehensive review. And also, it's a great second opinion, too, if you're having second thoughts about your current plan. 800-891-8680. Our dive into the good, the bad, and the ugly retirement planning changes you need to know about. That's coming up after a quick break on Retire Right Radio. Weston Lindemann is part of the team at Roberts Wealth Management. It's a great all-star team of advisors at Roberts Wealth, robertswealth.com, to learn more about it. You can even see the different team members, a little write-up on them, learn about the firm, and hear the podcast also at robertswealth.com. We're going to stay on this theme of how retirement has changed. Weston already covered the delayed RMD age coming from Secure Act. Actually, I think the original and Secure Act 2.0 raised it even more. The removal of, or let's say the lowering of the missed RMD penalty, and also the Social Security full retirement age increase. That had nothing to do with Secure Act. That actually goes back to like 1983. Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at this. So this is something, Weston, we usually see this every year, the ability for higher contribution limits.
That's right. You know, as inflation persists, the contribution limits for retirement accounts tend to increase as well. And so the latest for plans like 401ks, 403bs, you know, government plans like the TSP, that's increased to 23,000. It was 22,500. Now it's 23. So, you know, slight increase there. And likewise, the annual contributions to IRA accounts has increased to 7,000, up from 6,500. Now, there's also an additional catch-up contribution if you're over the age of 50. That'll get you closer to 8,000 and 24,000 for the 401k. But, you know, aside from the contribution limits, there's also been some changes with the SECURE Act that are supposed to, at least on paper, it seems, maybe to encourage savings. But I want to caution people, like most things with the SECURE Act, although it may seem like a good idea at first, there's a little bit more to it than just that. And so one of the things the SECURE Act did, it increased automatic 401k enrollment from 10% to 15%, meaning if you enroll in the new 401k plan but you don't elect a specific amount, the government suggests that you are automatically enrolled to contribute 15% of your income to that 401k. And while that may seem like it's encouraging savings, you know, what is the rationale behind going all in on tax-deferred accounts at a time period where we can pretty much agree that taxes are on sale, historically speaking, and mm-hmm. that, you know, a better approach would probably be contribute up to the match in that 401k. That's a good starting point. And then from there, maybe look at some of your other options, perhaps a Roth account, maybe even just a traditional IRA, because there's going to be, you know, fees inside of that 401k. According to the Department of Labor, 75% of 401k plans, they have fees that are in excess of what's actually legally allowed. And, you know, never mind the reasons for that. There's also a limited menu of options with the 401k. So while Congress is suggesting we contribute up to 15% there, you know, if we spread our money out across different accounts, we have more flexibility of our investment options, a greater choice involved. And you even have the added ability of being able to hire an advisor to help you, you know, navigate the ins and outs of the market. And with the 401k, most plans don't really have that available to you. Or if they do, it's in a very limited capacity. But I did want to mention that. That's one of the other changes of the SECURE Act and how it's trying to incentivize people more and more, pushing them in the direction of the 401k when, you know, the 401k was the way to invest for retirement when it first came out. But when it first came out, people were accustomed to tax rates in excess of 50%.
Yeah.
These days, that's not the scenario we find ourselves in. And so to continue going that tax deferred route as the primary means for saving for retirement, it's probably a misguided strategy for many people.
And also, not only was the increase in SECURE Act on the contribution to 401k automatic, where you would have to let them know you don't want that, but also now you have to opt out, where in the past you had to opt in.
That's right. So, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, and we could argue the merits of that, right? Is it better to have people automatically enrolled or better to have them choose to enroll? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is a matter of, I guess, personal politics. And so, mm-hmm. In general, I think it just makes us understand even that much more that just because there's a bill with a nice acronym that says it's supposed to set every community up for an enhanced retirement doesn't necessarily mean that it achieves that objective.
Yeah, and it's so weird, the acronym that's setting every community up as opposed to setting every individual up. I mean, neither here nor there, but yeah. You know, I guess but an I wouldn't have made it a good, it wouldn't have spelled secure, so I guess
wouldn't have been as catchy.
No, exactly. Good planning strategies, Weston talks about every week on this show. The great thing when you meet with Weston or one of the team members at Roberts Wealth, they're going to get into it more specifically to you, and what they think and feel would be the best strategies for you as a fiduciary firm. 800-891-8680, 800-891-8680. Back to Social Security just for a second. I think I mentioned 2034 or 33, and I forgot there was some news that there may be another year tacked on to the challenges that Social Security faces. So it could be 2035, mm-hmm. but either way, there's some insecurity in Social Security.
Yeah, according to a recent report, and this is pretty recent, May of this year, an annual trustees report has essentially declared that the trust fund reserves that are used to pay Social Security beneficiaries is projected to become insolvent in the year 2035. Now, that is a year later than previously projected, as you pointed out, but that doesn't really give much peace of mind, I don't think, to most of the people out there who are relying on Social Security. That means you get it for one more year. And as we see the debt, you know, continuing to increase and the likelihood of that becoming more and more of a problem, obviously these numbers that are thrown out, they change from time to time. And so, you know, as we get closer to 2035, I wouldn't be surprised if those projections change yet again. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, this just brings us back to the point of having a plan that protects us from what's going on in the world around us, whether it's, you know, the market volatility or the changes on the government side of things. If we have a plan that is addressing each and every one of these obstacles, and we can do that, it's not like this is some pie in the sky, oh, well, we'll just solve all the problems. Well, we can for ourselves. Now, can we solve the country's insolvent Social Security issues? That's a whole other conversation. But as it relates to us as individuals planning for retirement, this is where we decide whether or not we're going to do anything about it. And if you're leaning towards yes, then a great place to start is, you know, scheduling that complimentary consultation and working with our team of advisors to create a plan that's going to protect your dollars, allow them to grow, keep pace with inflation, and achieve ultimately the goals that are specific to you. When we look at some of the other things that have taken place, we touched on it earlier, the elimination of the stretch IRA. And, you know, we talk about Roth a lot here, and sometimes people are already receiving, they're already being forced to take those required minimum distributions. You may be wondering, is a Roth even an option that would make sense for me? Well, when we talk about individualized and, you know, custom-made, tailored plans here at Roberts Wealth, one of the things that we run into sometimes is the issue of legacy planning. And if you're currently planning to pass along some dollars to the next generation, well, the elimination of the stretch IRA as one of the tenets of the SECURE Act. This is something that the SECURE Act did, but, you know, again, it's impossible to see how this helped any community experience an enhanced retirement. Essentially, what this did was, previously, you had a greater amount of time to take withdrawals from an inherited IRA if that IRA was coming from a non-spouse. And now, post 2020, you have 10 years from the original account owner's death. As we mentioned earlier, they've currently waived the penalty for not taking that RMD, but they have not waived that RMD requirement. Meaning if you're sitting on an inherited account and you haven't been taking the RMDs from it, you still have to drain that account within 10 years, penalty or no penalty. And what that means is, you know, if you let that creep up on you, you could very likely end up in a scenario with an immense tax burden. And that means that you're going to receive a lot less than you had initially thought you might. And if we're planning as the person who's going to pass along those dollars, we want to know that the money is actually received, not that we worked our whole lives and saved this money, didn't spend it in retirement, hopefully passing it along to the next generation, but then the IRS gets to keep 30, 40, maybe 50% of that. That's not a scenario that anyone wants. And so The best way to get ahead of that, that's going to be our tax-efficient planning strategies, doing things like Roth conversions, maybe utilizing tax code 7702, certain types of life insurance. There are a lot of things we can do, but the most important is that we do something.
You know, and another question you can ask yourself, and I know you address this when people meet with you and anyone on the team there, is, are safeguards in place to protect against inflation throughout your retirement?
That's right. And it's even more critical now that we know Social Security isn't exactly going to keep up. We've got to make sure that our assets are growing at a rate that is at least inching ahead of inflation. Even if it's a marginal difference, we can't get beat to inflation. If you've, you know, I've seen scenarios where people lost money in 2022 and they said, enough of this. I can't stand the losses in the market. Just put the money on the sidelines. Well, guess what? You're still losing money in that case at a rate of whatever the actual inflation number is. So that could be 4%, 5%, 6%. We don't really know what an accurate number is these days. Depends on who you listen to, really. But what that means for us creating realistic plans, at least in our income planning process, we're betting on you know, no less than 3% inflation annualized moving forward. That's what we put into our income plans, and we show that because we'd rather be safe than sorry. You know, if we underestimate it, then that means that we end up having less than we need down the road. And of course, this compounds each year. Mm-hmm. So even if it is, you know, 2 or 3%, in a single year, what that means for us in retirement, when you consider a retirement can last 20, 30 or more years, the same dollars you need today, it's going to be a different number down the road. And we need to make sure that we're planning for that. It has to do with our asset allocation and how our dollars are invested. And we want to make sure that we have that proper risk reward. You know, we do want to keep pace with inflation, but you don't want to take on so much risk that you then suffer significant losses because you were trying to keep up. So how to strike that balance, how to invest, you know, intelligently these days to make sure that we are keeping pace with inflation, not just keeping pace, but getting ahead of inflation. Well, you can learn more about this and more by scheduling a complimentary consultation with one of our advisors today. The number for that is 800-891-8680.
It is, and they look at the now for you, but they also look at the future. They have to, and that could be 30 plus years of retirement. So it's planning for the now and planning for later in regards to building income, protective measures, proactive strategies, factoring inflation, factoring taxes, what you can do now that could help you ease your tax burden later in your retirement. And again, back to that foundation, that income in your retirement, in addition to Social Security or maybe streams of income in your retirement. And everyone's different, and it looks different for everyone. So what's it look like for you? 800-891-8680, 800-891-8680. It is a comprehensive review, and it is offered here at no cost, no obligation. If you take just a little bit of time to call in and get on the schedule, 800-891-8680, 800-891-8680. Consulting a financial advisor about asset allocation is important, but there are many variables to consider. So what is best for you? It's personal, and it can be complicated. They help take the mystery out of that at Roberts Wealth, though. So Weston has some asset allocation tips coming up on Retire Right Radio. Moving into some good questions that you should ask when you meet with a financial advisor, when you meet with a fiduciary firm like Roberts Wealth Management to talk about your retirement and concerning asset allocation. We're going to jump right into that in this segment of Retire Right Radio. Weston Lindemann, part of the team of All-Star Advisors at Roberts Wealth Management. And Roberts Wealth Management, if you're listening on the radio, has an office near you. It may be Pensacola. That's where Weston is. It could be the original office in Biloxi or Daphne, Alabama, or in the Houston area. There are three offices in the Houston area. So Roberts Wealth, and it's a team member ready to talk to you about your retirement. When you do meet, here's some good questions to ask, and it is about your asset allocation. Here's one, Weston. Mm-hmm. How do I determine, or how can you help me determine the right mix of stocks and bonds?
Well, there are some general approaches and then some more specific, you know, hand-tailored approaches. And in general, people like to follow what's called the rule of 100. And although it says rule of 100 as the name, it's more of a guideline. Mm-hmm. And we find that to be true. So essentially what you do is you take your age, you subtract it from 100. This should give you roughly your market risk to protection ratio. And, you know, for a lot of people, that's been stocks and bonds. But then you may have found in a year like 2022 that the stocks and bonds were down at the same time. While the idea behind that allocation was that when the stocks are down, the bonds are up, and that should give you some stability in your portfolio, that isn't necessarily the case all of the time. And so if you didn't have a contingency plan, if you weren't pivoting away from bonds in 2020, you know, 2020 to 2023, three consecutive years of bond market losses, first time that's happened since the 1970s, the point there being, this isn't necessarily the right allocation for everyone. And so that's why we take a different approach. We think about it in terms of, well, what we're really looking for is risk and safety. And so if we're 60 years old, we want 60% safety, 40% with some risk. Now, the amount of that risk, of course, is where the individualized nature of assessing risk tolerance comes in. And it has to align with people's goals. You know, if we're close to retirement, and we've got the amount that we need saved up, then, well, we need to dial back the risk because it's more about keeping what you've got at that point and figuring out, you know, now the best way to distribute those dollars. Mm-hmm. Of course, as we just talked about, we do need to keep ahead of inflation these days. And so we need to make sure that We're taking advantage of things that exist in the current environment, that is, assets that are positively correlated with rising interest rates. And so as rates have now remained higher for a little bit longer than a lot of people have expected, that means that there are opportunities out there to go ahead and purchase assets that are paying reasonable amounts of interest with very little, if any, risk at all. One example of that would be the fixed indexed annuity world, where there's pretty good fixed rates available. Now, at first glance, you may think, well, I can go get a CD that pays more interest than that. But what you have with a CD is going to be what's known as reinvestment risk. You may have a 6-month CD paying 5.5% today, but what about 6 months from now? What do you have after that? You have to find a new place to put those dollars. And if the world around you has changed in that 6-month time period, like it most assuredly will, then you're not exactly guaranteed to be able to lock in that exact same rate for the next 6 months. And so, we don't necessarily dislike CDs at Robert's Wealth, but what we're very fond of is having a comprehensive plan. And that's really what this comes down to. How do you determine the right mix of stocks and bonds, or I'll say, market risk versus safety, whatever that asset class may be? Well, you have to have a plan in place that has the long view. And we can't just say, well, today's short-term CD rates are attractive, so I'll go with that. You need a bigger plan than that. And that's what we can provide you, is taking a step back, looking at our goals, assessing our risk tolerance, and then from there creating a plan that achieves those goals. And we're going to use the asset allocation as a primary tool for doing that.
So and you mentioned the more guideline of 100 that you could use just as a starting point, because it's not one and done working with Robert's Wealth. I mean, if you decide to go forward with Robert's Wealth, mm-hmm. and decide and let's build a plan, well, then reviews are necessary. So the risk in your asset allocation needs to be adjusted with reviews too.
That's right. Safety profiles, risk profiles, they do change over time, as do people's needs and goals. And so someone who is, 10 years away from retirement is going to have a bit of a different plan than someone who is a couple of years into retirement. And these things are dynamic in nature. So none of it's set in stone. It is very much individualized. You may be retired and have very low expenses, and your primary goal being the accumulation of additional assets. And, you may not be in any danger of running out of money. Well, in which case, maybe you don't follow that 60-40 exactly to the T. Maybe you can take on a little bit more risk because that's in line with your objective of accumulating more assets. But we have to strike that balance with everything. And so it's never a hard, fast, well, you're 60 years old, so you get 60% of this. It's always a conversation, and it's always individualized to, the person that we're meeting with as advisors.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of meeting with, if you'd like to just get a look at what your plan could be with a comprehensive review, 800-891-8680. 800-891-8680. So you mentioned like fixed indexed annuity, and maybe that would obviously that would be considered possibly the income bucket. If you look at a growth bucket in your portfolio, what investments do you usually recommend, or with each asset class, what are you looking at in investment recommendations?
It's a great question, and obviously a little bit trickier to give a general answer here, but we do want to look at opportunities in the market, and we want to balance that against, the volatility that exists. So we want to take on some risk to get the return, but we always want to make sure that the amount of return that we're getting is in appropriate proportion to the downside. Right. And so, sometimes people come in the office, they say, well, if you can beat my current rate of return, then I'll hire you. But there's more to it than that. And this is where, if you go through our process of getting that complimentary review, we're not going to just look at your statement and say, oh, this is a really bad portfolio. We're going to send it off to a group called Morningstar, and they're going to give us a comprehensive report that tells us in black and white, here are the facts about your portfolio. Here's how much you stand to lose. If there were to be a market crash, would you lose 20% or would you lose 40? Or would you lose 5? Maybe you're extremely conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And then we juxtapose that. We look at it in comparison to our return. Are we seeing a really good return but taking on a lot of risk, or is it more balanced than that? And we ultimately want to make sure that our goals are in line with with those numbers, right? And so if we say we're conservative, but we've got a 30% drawdown, meaning we can lose 30% in the market in any sort of downturn, well, then we're actually not conservative. We're positioned quite aggressively, and that means we need to make a change. But that's the general, you know, overview of some of the things that we're looking at. But how do we position ourselves in the market today? Well, we have to accept the facts. Number one being that it's a lot harder to pick stocks and have success, have a high consistent rate of success in proactively choosing who are the winners and who are the losers in the market. That's number one. Unless you're, you know, a quantitative hedge fund on Wall Street, then you're probably going to have a harder time choosing the individual winners and losers. That's why we take more of a passive approach and looking at things like exchange traded funds. This is going to give us the exposure to the market without some of that room for error that comes into play whenever you have someone who's trying to, you know, execute trades on specific individual stocks. We'd rather hold the S&P 500 than choose all of the winners and losers that make up the S&P.
Right.
And that's a different approach than you'll find at other firms that are still using things like mutual funds, which, you know, if you've had a mutual fund that's worked for you over the years, I want to encourage you, come in and get that review, because there's a lot of research at this point that shows mutual funds versus ETFs over a 10-year period, which one better follows the market in terms of consistent rates of return, in terms of returns that are, you know, risk-adjusted, closer in line with the market. ETF is going to be your better bet for success. That's according to some research done by Vanguard. And, you know, that's not all, but mutual funds pretty high in fees. If you're not sure what you're paying in fees, that's another good reason to come in and get our review that we get from Morningstar. It is going to be very in-depth. It's going to bring to surface any of the hidden fees that you've always wondered about. And ultimately, it's going to inform things like, you know, are we truly diversified, or do we just have the appearance of diversification? You know, all of these different pieces to the puzzle. Are all of our positions highly correlated, meaning, yes, they move up together, but they also move down in tandem? These are the things we want to guard against in retirement. We can't have our portfolio vanishing overnight because we're concentrated in a single position, or maybe we have 30 or 40 different positions, but the underlying theme is pretty consistent. You know, maybe you seem like you're diversified, but actually you're highly correlated. So these are the things that we want to look at, and it all begins with that review process.
You know, that makes sense, though, because people come to you and thinking, truly thinking they're diversified and they're not. I guess there's a lot of overlap or redundancy or what have you.
That's right. And, you know, the idea of diversification, the only reason anyone diversifies is because they want to protect themselves against the market volatility. They want to smooth out the volatility and have more consistent rates of return. And that's why you diversify. So if you're experiencing massive drawdowns, you know, why didn't you just throw it all in NVIDIA? You would have had, you know, over 1,000% gain over the past 5 years. But of course, you wouldn't do that because that wouldn't be, you know, a responsible approach. You could stand to lose it all with a concentrated position. But, you know, if we do have a highly correlated portfolio and everything is moving in tandem, well, we might as well be concentrated in one position at that point. So these are the kinds of things that we'll look at. We'll take a deep dive with you, as deep as you'd like to go. You know, maybe not everybody out there wants all of the details about their current portfolio, and you just want solutions moving forward. Well, we'll give you that too. But no matter what, it has to begin with a conversation. You need to speak to one of our advisors, and we've got an opportunity for you to do that today. And you can claim that by giving us a call at 800-891-8680.
And that is the way to get that comprehensive review. And I think as far as diversification, redundancy probably wasn't the right word, but maybe overlap or something like that. But yes, they're going to look at that. As Weston also touched on briefly here, fees. That could be quite revealing too, fees you may not even be aware of. Talking to you about building in income in your retirement and much more, 800-891-8680. 800-891-8680. This is a comprehensive review. It's going to be about you, and what's great, it's with a fiduciary team. So the recommendations that they offer, the strategies that they suggest, they feel in their fiduciary duty would be in your best interest. 800-891-8680. As always, Weston addresses concerns and questions from listeners to close out the show. That is coming up after a quick break. Questions from listeners for Weston Lindemann on Retire Right Radio. Question time, Q&A for Weston Lindemann on Retire Right Radio. As they do when you meet with them on the show, we always devote a little bit of time for Weston to address concerns of listeners and answer the questions of listeners. You can get yours in to robertswealth.com. That's also another way to schedule with the team at Roberts Wealth Management. We're back into Retire Right Radio, and great questions as always, Weston. We're going to open it up with one from Mobile, Alabama. If you're already withdrawing from your 401k, let's say you start when you're 60, are you still subject to required minimum distributions when you turn 73?
So any type of retirement account other than Roth is going to be subject to those required minimum distributions. If you're already taking withdrawals, the question is, how much are you taking? Because at 73, that RMD is going to start at about 3.91% of the account balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be across all of your retirement accounts. So if you've got a 401k and you've got an IRA, it's going to be 3.91% across those two accounts.
But you could take from one to satisfy that?
That's right. So In that scenario, if you've got two accounts and the account balance is $200,000 between the two of them, you don't have to take a little bit from each. You can take it all from one.
Okay.
So if you're taking withdrawals, but they're not enough to meet that RMD requirement, if they're not meeting that number, that just under 4% number, then you'll have to take the additional amount as a withdrawal. But if
but that does factor in, though. That can lower the percentage.
That's right. If you're taking a withdrawal, then your RMD is already met, if you're taking enough to satisfy that.
Right. So if you were taking 2%, and you said it's initially 3.91, so it could be just 1.91 on the RMD.
That's right. It's just the additional amount that you haven't taken out yet if you're taking withdrawals.
Well, there you go. Hey, great question. Thanks so much. This next one is from Perdido, Florida. I'm reading a lot about long-term care insurance, and I'm just wondering if long-term care insurance is worth it, or should I put those funds in my personal investments or high yields?
Yeah, so I've looked at this with clients, and typically for us at Roberts Wealth, we're working with people who are, you know, either at retirement already or very near. And so oftentimes that long-term care insurance is too costly, that you don't get as much out of it. You know, maybe if you're younger and you can get a better quote, then it might make sense. I would say it's worth looking into. Is it worth purchasing? We can compare that strategy to, you know, some sort of self-insured route. And so self-insured is going to mean that we've got some dollars that we've put aside. So we wouldn't want them to be in our IRA, right? Because that's going to be subject to RMDs. And then by the time we reach, you know, our late 80s, maybe we're in our early 90s, and now long-term care is in the picture. Well, at that point, we're, according to Uncle Sam, we've been forced to drain our IRA account. And so you want those dollars to exist either in perhaps a Roth, maybe a high-yield savings account, but at the same time, that's not going to generate enough interest perhaps to be worth the best parking spot for your dollars. You may acquire an annuity that's going to have a rider associated with it that enhances the value in the event of a qualifying medical expense or long-term care need. And I've seen those extra bells and whistles sometimes, especially these days with the higher interest rates that we're currently seeing. You know, high rates can be cumbersome if you're trying to, you know, purchase property, things like that. But if you're looking to buy an annuity, then hey, higher interest rates right now are actually in your favor. And an annuity with a long-term care rider attached to it could be a preferred strategy for having that long-term care need taken care of down the road. So not saying that is the way to go necessarily, but it's certainly worth looking at. And I think, you know, the most prudent strategy would be, let's look at the cost of long-term care insurance versus perhaps a couple of other strategies and see which one is actually going to get you the most for your dollar.
And also, I've heard the annuity as an alternative, and also a rider of life insurance, well, on life insurance. Is that also something to look at least?
That's right. You know, if we're using some of our tax-efficient planning strategies here at Roberts Wealth, one of them being, you know, tax code 7702, which has to deal with the way that certain life insurance policies are treated in the tax code. And again, the catch there is that they aren't. Meaning they aren't taxable. If we take a withdrawal from an IUL, indexed universal life, that's going to be a loan against the policy and therefore non-taxable, non-reportable. But likewise, there could be a long-term care rider attached to the insurance policy. That might be what you're looking for. Ultimately, you know, if it makes dollars, it makes sense. Is one way to look at it. And we want to look at the strategy that keeps the most money in our pocket now, but also saves the most for the future need, and does so in a protected way, a way that we don't put those dollars at risk. If you want to find out more about that, then you can give us a call, 800-891-8680.
Yeah, and they're in Perdido, so they'd be coming into the Pensacola office.
That's right.
Amen. Thanks so much. The really good questions here. And again, that number is 800-891-8680. Here's Foley, Alabama. I want to start taking some money out of my IRA at 60. Now, I'm going to keep working. Can I still contribute to my IRA after I start making withdrawals?
Well, the Secure Act, in its infinite wisdom and goodwill, it had another attachment to that bill that it took away the cap on how old you can be and still contribute earned income to an IRA. And so, no need to fear. You can work until you're 90 years old and still contribute to an IRA. That's part of the setting every community up for retirement enhancement. Now, if my sarcasm isn't obvious enough, then I'll say it out loud. I don't know anyone that's ever helped, but I do want to answer your question more straightforward and say, yes, you can take a withdrawal from an IRA and contribute to an IRA in the same year, as long as you have earned income to contribute.
I did detect the sarcasm there. but really good question. You know, that's what it's all about. There are no bad questions. So come armed with many when you meet at Roberts Wealth. They welcome your questions. 800-891-8680 to do that. Finally, from Katy, Texas, does the 3 or 4% rule work at any age? Say, for example, we both retired today, both my spouse and I. We're in our mid to late 50s, and we began to draw 3 or 4%, which totally covered our lifestyle plus medical insurance while we're on our way to Medicare eligibility. Would the draw still have a 99% chance of lasting our lifetimes, or does the 3 or 4% rule only work when you start at 65?
Yeah, so that's a great question. The 3 or 4% rule can work earlier in life. We just have to be aware of the compounding effects of inflation. Because if we have $1 million IRA and we are, well, in this case, we'd have to be at least 59 and a half to even withdraw from that IRA. But, you know, let's say we have $1 million account, never mind the account type. It could be non-qualified. And you take 3 or 4% out, well, that's $30,000 to $40,000. That could work if your expense needs are that low, right? If you only need $30,000 or $40,000 to get by, then sure, you can retire at any age and that $1 million IRA will maintain itself as long as we're earning interest in excess of 3 or 4%. That's the idea. But the problem with doing it earlier in life is going to be that same $30,000 or $40,000 probably isn't going to cut it 20 years from now, right? Because of the inflation adjustment over the years. So it does work better. It's a better rule for someone who is 65 than 55, because you're talking about 10 more years of inflation here, and you're withdrawing from an account that is probably staying more or less the same. When we look at projections in an income plan of, you know, very conservative growth estimates and withdrawing 3 or 4%, it does pretty much maintain that account balance over the years. But then that hidden cost being inflation, that invisible tax, it can creep up. So a lot of times people will start at, you know, maybe a higher percentage in retirement and work their way down to 3 or 4%. Sometimes it's the other way around. You start at a lower percentage, but then because of inflation, we have to, you know, increase our withdrawal rate a little bit. And ultimately, it comes down to how are the assets positioned? What is the amount that we're taking a withdrawal from? And of course, how much do we need? So I would say, you know, being in your mid to late 50s, the 4% rule still something to consider, but ultimately we have to tailor the plan to you specifically. And what that means for us is getting to know you a little bit more, figuring out, well, what are you planning on doing in those go-go years that we've talked about? You know, the three different phases to retirement, the go-go, the slow-go, and the no-go. And so with that being a part of the conversation, we want to understand, is 3 or 4% even appropriate for us to begin with in the early days of retirement? Is that realistic? It's going to depend on how many assets have we accumulated that we're taking a withdrawal from. It sounds here from what you've asked of us today that you are comfortable living on 3 or 4%. But will it last throughout your life? Well, we need to make sure that you have some protection built into your plan. Do you have a drawdown of your market dollars that are, you know, 30 or 40% of your portfolio? Because, you know, withdrawing 3 or 4% when you have a market downturn is going to change that picture pretty drastically. So long answer there. The short answer of it is it can work for you if we have some safeguards in place, if we have a plan in place that gives us the full picture of not just now in your mid-50s, but, you know, 30 years from now. What does that look like? Mm-hmm. We can give you that plan and more, but it's going to begin with an initial conversation. Yeah, spend about an hour with one of our advisors. It's a get to know you on both ends. We're trying to see, are you a good fit for Robert's Wealth? Is Robert's Wealth a good fit for you? There's really one of two possible outcomes when you come in for a complimentary review. Either we find out that everything is in good order, there's nothing more for us to do, and you get to leave knowing that there's no need to worry. Or option number two, we find that there's some opportunities for improvement. We take steps to implement some changes, and then we give you the gift of that long sought after strut that you've heard mentioned before. That's right. When you walk out of here knowing confidently that you're taken care of and that you have a plan moving forward to deal with any and all challenges that might arise.
And wow, what a great example of someone who could benefit by coming in, because Weston, you did a great job answering their question in more of a general sense. But can you imagine, especially with them being, you know, she said mid-late 50s, clearly in that financial red zone, how much better you can answer it with some follow-up questions from you to learn a little bit more about them. And that's what makes that one-on-one review great. 800-891-8680, 800-891-8680. Again, 800-891-8680. You know, robertswealth.com, if you'd like to get a question in, another way to schedule, if you click that contact tab there at robertswealth.com, you'll see where you can get a message in. You can put your question in, and certainly that's another way to schedule a comprehensive review for yourself. If you click resources, this is really cool, and then Retire Right Radio, that's where you can access the podcast. And there are lots there. In fact, there are 160 podcasts there. So that is listening on demand. We've got a little write-up on each. That's at robertswealth.com. And again, you can call in now and get on the calendar at an office convenient to you to come in and talk about your retirement. 800-891-8680, 800-891-8680. Again, 800-891-8680. Well, every week, Weston is here to give us what we need to consider in our financial lives, and especially if we're near or in retirement. So we're back to do it again next week with Weston Lindemann and Retire Right Radio.
Robert's Wealth Management is registered as an investment advisor and only conducts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean the advisor has achieved a specific level of skill or ability. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. This program is a paid advertisement sponsored by Robert's Wealth Management. All investment strategies have the potential for profit or loss. Discussion should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell, or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell the investments mentioned. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies discussed. Investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. Asset allocation, rebalancing, and diversification do not ensure or guarantee a better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses. References to market results do not represent the performance of Robert's Wealth Management. Historical performance returns for investment indexes and/or categories usually do not deduct transaction and/or custodial charges of an advisory fee, which would decrease the historical performance results. There are no guarantees that a portfolio will match or outperform a specific benchmark. Tax information provided is general in nature and should not be construed as legal or tax advice. Always consult with an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Roberts Wealth Management is not engaged in the practice of law or accounting. Tax and Social Security rules are subject to change at any time. Annuity guarantees are subject to the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurance company.